Hey, hey, habit thrivers. If you're ready to rock your next chapter, this is your place. It's time to live your most fit, fearless, and fabulous life. I believe that our daily habits and routines set the foundation for achieving our dream lives and help us find more passion and clarity with less doubt and uncertainty. So let's get cozy. Grab your planner and your favorite beverage and come along with me on this journey of reclaiming your passions and finding new ones along the way. Welcome to the Habit Thrive podcast, a podcast for women in their me now years. Each week we explore habits, routines, and rituals to reclaim our power and our awesomeness to live our best chapters yet. In today's episode, I have the great privilege of interviewing Lindsay Hindle, a breakthrough coach for sensitive people and a certified emotional freedom technique practitioner. When I was thinking about tools and techniques to support our theme this month of planning for an awesome summer and planning for our next chapters, Lindsay immediately came to mind. We met in Vancouver, British Columbia a few years ago at a business retreat, and I was so impressed with her positive energy and her courage in owning her sensitive side. For those of you who have followed this podcast for a while, you know that I am a Vata in Ayurvedic speak, which means that my body, mind, and spirit is governed by air and ether. Not so much a go with the flow kind of person, more of a candle in the wind kind of a person. Now, on that note, I have been described and have described myself as easily distracted, easily overwhelmed, and sometimes a little overly sensitive. Now, because of coaches, leaders, and influencers like Lindsay, who are brave enough to put themselves out there in spite of their anxiety, feelings of overwhelm, and sensitivity, more people like myself are owning their personality and their power. In today's episode, Lindsay is sharing her journey, her perspective, and the technique of tapping to help us with planning our next chapter by having us address our fears, talk to them, reassure ourselves, and move courageously into our next chapter. So, enjoy. Welcome, Lindsay, to the Habit Thrive podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Lori. I am really pleased to be with you today as your guest.
Yay. And we are going to launch right into things. I'd love you, Lindsay, to share your journey in terms of how you got to be doing what you're doing right now. I had the opportunity to share a little bit more of a more formal bio as we came into this episode today. But I'd like to turn it over to you to, share your story, your journey. You can thread in what we're going to be talking. We're probably going to be talking about a few things today for sure, because tapping and EFT, how it relates to just to life. I'm just so excited about this. So I'm going to turn it over to you right now and we'll just let this chat flow out as it does.
Well, thank you, Lori. And it's always so interesting to hear how people have landed into what they're doing now. And especially for people that are thinking about what they want to do going forward in their life. And as you like to call it, the next chapter. And I, at the young age of 42 that I am, I've had several next chapters. I think, for me, and I love to open up this concept to people, is that your next chapter could literally be 6 months. And it's really all about embracing the seasons of our life and seasons of different aspects of ourselves emerging into being. And when I initially started my entrepreneurial journey, I was in a very different business, although it is very related. I initially started out as an entrepreneur off of the back of not wanting to return to work. Not wanting to return to employment.
Right.
I was a communications director in the nonprofit world. And, you know, in living in the big city of Vancouver, I was having to commute an hour to work and an hour back. And once I had my son, I just decided, like, no, I don't want to be working that many hours of a day, adding on a 2-hour commute. What would that leave me and my energy wise to be the, you know, be the calm presence that I wanted to be in
Right.
my son's life. So I started the journey of entrepreneurship. With my background in communications, it meant that I was really well versed in brand identity, helping organizations. And I actually turned to work with entrepreneurs, other entrepreneurs at that point, to help them develop their brand identities. So, for those of you familiar with that concept, you know, most people think of it as being logos and websites and maybe how your newsletter sounds or how you sound on social media and your images and graphics. But interestingly, a brand identity, especially for an individual, we call this a personal brand. Someone,
Okay.
if you're going to be the face of your business, let's say we're talking about coaching, or you're a consultant, or you're a healer, or something to that effect, a speaker, you are the face of your brand. And so your brand identity really is an extension of you and how you want to show up in the world. And as I was working with different entrepreneurs, I started to notice a big difference between those that really flew, like had flying colors through my very in-depth branding process, which is a
Right.
lot of questions into what are your values? What's your mission? How do you want to show up in the world? Who do you want to be? What impact do you want to leave? And some people flew through that process because they knew how to answer those questions. Other people who engaged in that branding process, who were initially paying clients, well, they had a different experience. There were some people who I would almost say break down in tears trying to answer those questions, and they couldn't because they
Yes.
didn't know those answers about themselves. And it was at that point where I got really fascinated. What is all this stress and these tears coming out of primarily women who were having such a tough time answering these questions and, you know, would have to break the contract? And it kind of made me pause and go, you know what? I'm really, really, really fascinated about this identity piece, about what's going on in people internally, why they're reacting this way. And I'm not so interested in graphics and websites and things. So I actually closed that business and I went on my own kind of soul finding, personal exploration journey as I followed this interest, this deep, fiery passion interest, almost a, you know, obsession of
Yes.
what is this thing where, you know, people are having trouble answering what would seem like basic questions, but are actually very, very deep personal identity-based questions.
I hear myself saying this quite often, probably in these podcast episodes as well, that we were not taught this. We were not taught this in school, like this deep knowing of who we are and who we are then being the place for who do we want to be. And then you're so right, all of a sudden because we're going to face up against it at not against it, we're going to be able to engage with those questions at some point. Sometimes it's earlier, as you said, in a branding. And it's funny you should say that, because having gone through a branding process myself, I remember the resistance to this. I remember thinking, that's a little personal. Why do you need to know that about myself? And like, why do I not know that about myself? And so, whether it's a branding process or whether or not, even from a personal trainer, as I'm working with clients and really sometimes I found myself for sure tiptoeing around this, because it is very personal. And when we relate this right now to this process that you've gone through of, you know, first of all, like, when do we come into these questions? When are they presented to us? Or when do we go searching for them? Whether or not it's a change, because again, all of you who are listening today, you are at a different season, as Lindsay says, in a different stage. And to get kind of into that next stage. Sometimes we will, and I did this, thank you, Lindsay, for pointing that out. I did resist some of these questions and I did kind of push them aside, but guess what? They come back. They come back and it's like, okay. And even in this second, let's say if we were looking formally at the second chapter or the next chapter or another chapter being coming into retirement or empty nesting, that is the time that potentially, if we want to embrace those questions of what next and what are my passions, because that's a tough question. Mm-hmm. What's your, like if someone, and I remember that, what are your passions? Well, let me just think about that for a moment. And almost a sense of embarrassment.
There is a little bit of embarrassment, shame around not feeling like you know answers to questions about yourself that you feel like you should know. I always like to normalize that for people, and especially for women who have, you know, I think it really, really makes an impact the generation that you grow up in and how you're shaped and formed and have certain imprints impressed upon you around the culture and society that you are coming of age in, that you are becoming a mother in, that you are becoming a real mover and shaker in the workforce and your workplace and all of those things, those generational things actually really, really matter. Because I've noticed with my clients, there are certain themes that are very present depending on when you have, you know, developed into adulthood or womanhood. And it's quite distinct between the different generational differences. And I like to normalize that not being able to have an answer for those questions, like what is your passions? You know what? We all grow, we all participate in this society that's under a very, very interesting way that capitalism operates. And capitalism will demand and extract every single hour of your labor that you are willing to give it. And that is why you do not necessarily have an easy answer for what is your passions, because a society that hasn't been valued. What's been valued is give us your all, give us as many hours to the workforce or whatever, you know, else is demanded of you as you can. And that is what's valued. So, you know, it's not a shameful thing to not know what your passions are. That hasn't been a core value of our society. And whatever age that you are, especially if you're in retirement, that is a beautiful time to be able to go on a discovery process of exploring and experimenting and discovering that side of yourself and bringing that alive.
That's beautiful. I think as early as we start to think about that again, and I've said that, you know, before we get into those retirement years, or when you're in, there's an opportunity every single, let's say, shift, every decade, every day, every year, every seasonal change to say, okay, am I happy? Am I living by the values that I've been searching for, talking about, whether it's an adventure or service or anything that you have given yourself that time? And it does take some intention. And this is where we're going to dig into this a little bit more today as well, is because I get that question often. You're coming into this, if you're, let's say you're younger and you're starting to think about it and you're realizing what your passions are, right? Like before you're retired, you're like, I like to garden. I like to, boy, if I had more time, I'd be on the golf course more often. If I had a chance to do this in the community, I would do this more often. So you get these little snippets of, okay, so I'm going to remember that as I come into those opportunities where I have more time. Or as we've talked about in some of the episodes on this, is that sometimes it's potentially not that you have more time, because you can be busier with more family issues and things that have come up into your life, but you have perhaps more flexibility around your time. So it becomes a skill It becomes a skill to manage that. So this is one of the reasons you and I talked a little while back, where I was like, so planning is my, when you talked obsession and passion as well. So planning and tracking and habits and routines and rituals. And your email, one at that particular time, and your emails again are beautiful. I mentioned this actually in my last episode when I was interviewing Jane Hogan, that there are some people that I just, you know what, their emails do not go to my promotions. They're like, they bring value. They always make me feel good. And that's when I was reading and I went, you know what, I would love to speak to Lindsay about some of the tools that you use to tap into, because very often, let's say we're not used to doing that, figuring out what we want, who we are, how can I plan into this next part of my life? And then you were talking about EFT and talking about tapping. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to reach out and ask you some questions about that. So yeah. What, if I can jump right in, you set the stage beautifully for this. As our listeners are wondering, okay, great, let's have a tool. My planner, this will go with my planning and tracking. At the same time, it's gorgeous to use on the fly. So what is EFT and tapping, and how would you see this coming into this time of our lives, this chapter of our lives?
Yeah, well, EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, and it's also referred to as tapping. And this is because the nature of the practice, it's a somatic practice. So soma means with the body, and it's a psychosomatic practice. So it is a form of tapping with your fingertips lightly on different acupressure points all over kind of the upper half of your body in a sequence while you are speaking and voicing aloud and leading yourself through an exploratory process into yourself. And the combination of the tapping and the talking and coming at it from curiosity-based language really disarms your conscious mind. So our conscious mind, of course, our kind of the thing that we use to critically assess and analyze and unfortunately often self-criticize ourselves with, is kind of like a gatekeeper, right? This is, some people call this, and our ego isn't a bad thing. And some people even debate whether we should call the ego anyway, because there's a lot of different psychologists that have been doing different work in sort of breaking the ego down into something a lot more, with a lot more parts to it than just, oh, this is your ego. But
right.
Oftentimes, right, this is where a central part of our identity, what we think and who we think we are and how we think we have to be, operates from. And when we can actually get past that into the unconscious or subconscious self, where they say that 95% of our habits of thinking, our emotional responses, our ways of reacting, our belief systems live, and we actually do most of life from. So those are that unconscious layer, subconscious layer is actually really more of our entire engine of our life. But we seem to kind of depend a lot on what our conscious mind is saying and doing and filtering. So this EFT process helps us get into past that gatekeeping mind into the subconscious layer, where we can really kind of start to shift and shape and understand who is in there, what are their thoughts and beliefs and the rules that they think they have to live by, and start to shift that. And at the same time, because it's a body process, it is directly able to kind of hack our nervous system. So our nervous system, which is responsible for setting us into fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode, or face. So fight, of course, is right where we're responding with, aggression, and the blood flows to the limbs. Blood flows away from our imagination and creative thinking parts of our brain and actually flows into our physical body parts, which reduces our ability to respond with calmness and with level-headedness. I think we saw a lot of that during COVID.
Yes.
And then we have our freeze mode, which is where you're just frozen, paralyzed in almost a fear response, not knowing how to respond. So this is often looks like people shutting down.
Right.
And then we have flight? Oh, runaway, avoidance.
Yes.
Avoidance. Yeah. So maybe this can happen with planning, right? Like looking at that calendar, thinking ahead, and then having this response of like, you know what, I'm going to do this later. I don't feel comfortable doing this now. Nothing ever works out. And putting something off can actually be a little bit of a flight response. It's avoidance.
Right.
Because there's this, and you don't notice it, right? You're just like, you just kind of go, oh, I don't feel like doing this right now. But yeah, Underneath, there's a very good reason that you're avoiding it. So then we have our fawn mode, which is people pleasing, which is let me solve the situation. Let me do anything, say anything or do anything to just calm you down, please you, so that everything just kind of is feeling safe again and calm. That's another response from our nervous system. And then our face mode is actually where we are standing in our power, standing in our own inner authority of our needs, our wants, our desires, and our sovereignty of ourself. And we're facing a problem, or we're facing a challenge, or we're facing an opportunity to leverage it for our benefit.
Wow.
That is the place we want to be, right?
That's amazing. I have never actually heard that before. I've heard fight and flight and freeze. I have never heard the fawn and the face, and that makes so much sense. Yes, keep going, my dear. That was fantastic.
Yeah. So that's all from think of it like as in the background. That is not something we're consciously aware is often happening until we really tune our awareness into our own body responses and our the ways that we react in situations and to ourselves. So this is it's a physiological thing. And with tapping, this kind of hacks into our system, our nervous system, quickly so that we can come out of fight, flight, fawn, and come into face.
Yes. Excellent. So, okay. So I just got goosebumps there. It just, when you talk about our nervous system response, I mean, this is everything. And so whether or not we're making a decision to do anything, to walk out the door, to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, to choose this particular nutritious food, to let go of this worry before bed. Like, it's all the same patterning. It's the same pathway. So once you hack in, let's say, and we're talking about this from a planning forward into your next chapter, into the summer, but it very much works on every single habit and decision that you're making on a daily basis, or can.
Yes, absolutely. Because even thoughts, even what seem like simple things, can cause our nervous system to react. So one example is being on social media and being exposed to seeing other people being bullied or torn down by commenters and trolls and that kind of thing. That can actually turn on your own nervous system, activate it in a negative way. And we can activate our nervous system in a positive way or in a negative way. And that would be a kind of a response, a nervous system response that we wouldn't want to have would be to be stressed out and just feel so anxious by just simply what we're seeing communicated around us. And we all have different patterning. So my most common nervous system patterning is to either go into fawn mode or into flight. And so I notice I'm finely tuned to my responses now. So I know when I am going into avoidance or when I am going into immediate people pleasing. And it's taken a lot of practice because, you know, as you know, becoming integrated with our body through your work is so key. But it's, again, something that's not valued in society. It's not taught. And therefore, we have to spend a lot of devoted practice to teaching that knowledge and that connection with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it does take some very conscious reaching out and researching and searching. And you use the word curious. It's one of my favorite words, just to be curious about how does this work for me? Maybe this doesn't work for me, or can I break this down and make it a little bit easier? And so that's what I tend to, I think, focus on as well, is what are some of the things that will stay in my mind? What are some of the things that I can get an immediate response of, just not to feel overwhelmed again with everything out there, because even with things that are good. So even with, you know, we have our toolboxes and toolkits and then all of a sudden we're like, what did I do for this again? And this is what I'm going to say. One of the ones that I come back to that works across different scenarios has been the tapping over the years, because I've come back to it. For example, if I can't fall asleep at night, yeah, I'll start, because it's there, because you always have your fingers. Yes. They're, you know, and even when I had both thumbs actually in CAS, I still had my fingers. And so wherever you are, and even that little bit of tapping on the pinky side where you can be discreet about it, you can be full out about it. But the importance, this is why I like to talk about it, let's say in this kind of more formal setting, is that for me and a lot of my listeners, I think that knowing the science, knowing what's happening in the brain, knowing the scientific reason that we're tapping particular areas in our body that connect directly to the nervous system that make us feel less overwhelmed, that calm us down. And so I'm wondering actually if we, because when you and I talked initially, we talked about going through a session, and we are talking about planning. We are talking about, for those of you who haven't had a chance to listen, last week's episode is on some of the fears and the resistance to planning forward, as Lindsay has spoken to beautifully already. But you're reminding me that the tapping, just on calming ourselves down, just on, I don't know if it's calling out some fears, like how would we do that? Let's say that example that you said, you're thinking, oh, I need to plan this. I need to plan whether it's my garden, or I need to start planning that reunion that I said I was going to plan this summer, or I need to plan something around my health. I have to, you know, strengthen this area or do, and then we don't. We're like, oh, I don't even know where to start. It's just, I've tried it before. It hasn't worked before, or there are too many things that I have to do, so I'm not going to do it. In that moment of going, mm-hmm, okay, you know what, Lori, Lindsay, like let's get to this. Let's start the process. How could we tap through that?
Yeah, great question. And we can, you know, if you want, we can kind of demo what that looks like. But I'll just preface it by saying it's really about slowing down and pausing and being willing to get really curious about why you're choosing something, right? Because beautiful, in this subconscious layer, there is a reason, a good reason, right? There's a response, or there's something, a belief that is learned, could be imprinted from 20 years ago.
Right.
A part of yourself saying, no, this doesn't feel safe, or that doesn't feel good, or what's the point? Or, you know, it's not always something to do with us in that moment. It seems like it is, right? Because our conscious mind goes, okay, you know, well, let's you go. Have to do the laundry instead, you know, like, oh, so for example, a lot of women drop their workout routines or don't want to maybe call a friend to go for a walk, let's say. And the reasoning might be, oh, well, but you know, I haven't cleaned the bathrooms in 2 weeks and I've got 3 basket loads of laundry to do. And I really better get those things done because those need doing. And I don't have time for a walk. Now, on the outside, that looks like, well, there's just too much other stuff to do. But on the subconscious layer, the reasoning could be, I don't want my husband to walk in, see all this mess and be disappointed in me. That could be very well a learned, imprinted pattern that you learned from watching your parents 20 years ago. There could be any number of reasons that we would never make the connection to because we don't see them, because they're subconscious, they're unconscious, they are in our blind spots. Tapping actually lets us get curious. Okay, what is really underneath here? Why am I really avoiding this again? Or why am I telling myself, don't get that gym membership? It's too expensive. When really it's like, well, maybe I don't feel safe being in a gym with eyes on me.
Yep. And so I had never thought about that. It's like an ongoing journaling. If I just pictured myself working through that and starting to write it out, but why? And then write out the answer, but why? And then write out the answer, and just peeling off the layers of the onion and going deeper and deeper and deeper, compassionately, for sure, because that sounds, at the same time, I'm thinking we probably could be here a couple more hours, as Lindsay very nicely agreed to dig into this in this time frame that will just be a little bit of a opening, perhaps, for some of you that have dabbled in tapping before, have heard about it, have maybe done a summit, or you're thinking, yeah, I'd like to come back to this, or I would like to just try this, working through the subconscious conscious connection. And so I'm wondering, but let me know about this, Lindsay. Is there any benefit at all for someone? So we're thinking in terms of who's just starting and with a question and just starting to breathe, as you said, to breathe through it. Can we tap just on one? Because I do that quite often. I'll just tap on my karate side, pinky side finger, and just inhale, exhale, and just start to, it's a little way I tend to use it to pump myself up sometimes or to let something go. But is that a way to start with tapping as opposed to knowing all of that? Or is there another place that you start with that?
That is the beauty of tapping. It can be used in so many layers and for so many facets. So yes, going in deep to unpack something is one way that it can be used. It can also be used for inserting new beliefs and behaviors and patterns of thinking that you want to be living from. What some people call manifesting, where you really want to be focusing on how you do want to feel and what you do want to be doing. And it can be used in very quick scenarios to just, like you said, bring up that energy or just bring your presence back to being focused. And it can also be used, you know, for those really deep sessions with a one-on-one practitioner to go really deep into things. And then self-tapping is a great thing where, you're just going to be giving yourself a quick little boost to bring your focus or presence or energy into whatever you need for that moment. So let's think about, you know, like you said, is there something someone could start with? So What would you say is maybe the most common thing people are thinking of wanting to bring some energy to or their presence to?
Okay. So if we kept it wider open on this idea again of our future self, of thinking forward and being open and being curious, and you're just wondering, thinking forward into the next month, into the summer, and opening up your awareness to be excited and to welcome, let's say, whatever might arise. Because when you're doing this, all of a sudden I find images pop up, sometimes words come in, sometimes I'll journal afterwards. And sometimes being open, sometimes it's overwhelming, but if I stay with it, something always pops up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So let's try this. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take our fingertips and we're going to tap on what's called the karate chop point. So if you think of how someone does a karate chop block on blocks, you see it in the movies all the time. Hi-ya. That is the fleshy side of your hand. And the level of tapping that you want to do is imagine that you're kind of drumming your fingers on a countertop. You know, we kind of do this sometimes when we're impatient. Just a light tap with all of your fingers. And so instead of drumming, you're just going to use your four fingers on your right hand to lightly tap the fleshy side of your left hand on this karate chop point. And what we might say is, even though I've been doing things a certain way, and you would just repeat that statement. So repeat what I say. So Laura, give that a try.
Okay. Even though I've been doing these things a certain way.
And the routine I've been in has felt comfortable.
And the routine that I have been in has felt comfortable.
Maybe now is a great time.
Maybe now is a great time.
To try something new.
To try something new.
And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept myself.
Especially because.
Especially because.
The energy of spring and summer.
The energy of spring and summer.
Lifts me up so much.
Lifts me up so much.
Maybe now is the perfect time.
Maybe now is the perfect time.
For me to create.
For me to create.
Some personal emergence too.
Some personal emergence too.
And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept myself.
And while there might be a part of me.
And while there might be a part of me.
That likes old comfortable ways.
That likes old comfortable ways.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Because I can feel this other part of me.
Because I can feel this other part of me.
Feels some excitement.
Feels excitement.
Over what else is possible.
Over what else is possible.
In some new emergence.
In some new emergence.
And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept myself.
Beautiful. So that would be our setup.
Oh,
and then lovely. We go into tapping on other parts of our body, just reinforcing those kinds of words. Maybe
yes.
I'm open. Maybe now's the perfect time. Maybe I could be willing. Maybe there's something else possible. And using that terminology of maybe
yes.
is a great starting place, because using the term maybe actually disarms that resistant part of us that could come up in our ego that says, nope, we're going to stay the same. Nope, new is not comfortable. New is not safe. We're going to stay the same. So the maybes
yes.
really lets us bypass and soothe that resistance that might want to come up right away when we're introducing something new.
That's awesome. That is so, that's why that felt so comfortable. I love that. And coming back to, it's almost like coming back to just the earth, to grounding. And I love and I accept myself. It's like, whoosh. And maybe, and then you come back. I love and accept myself. And I have to admit, when I first started with I love and accept myself, it felt weird. Mm-hmm. I remember that like a couple of years ago, it was like, I think it was before COVID actually. And I was starting to come into, and I'm like, do I really have to say that? And like you said, you don't have to say anything, right? Because you're going through, but there are words that are going to make a difference. And there are, and I stuck with it. And I just noticed as we were doing that why? And I'm doing this like in an interview, and that feels natural now. Mm-hmm. That feels calming. That feels like coming back to myself. After going out there, it's a perfect combination, Lindsay, to go out with maybe. Maybe I'm going to do this. Maybe I'm going to explore. Maybe I'm, and then you come back and go, and I'm good. And then mm-hmm. you go out. So I really had that feeling of coming back in and going back out. Like it was safe going yes. out.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful to come back. And starting at one place, because a lot of us, myself included, I'm going to come back to Ayurveda from a pitta perspective, right? We're like, if I don't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it. Or mm-hmm. like, am I doing it wrong? If I do it wrong, am I going to mess something up? That's what I love about what we just did today. It was easy. I always remember karate, you know, karate chop side. And it, yeah, thank you. It was just really, really, we talk about these things, everyone, as you're listening, but sometimes, again, it's going to flow out from the energy, actually, of all of you listening. I'm going to say, you've heard me say that before, absolutely, what we talk about and the energy, it's always a dance in between, even though you're not listening to it real time. It's always, that always kind of gives me goosebumps. And Lindsay, the other question I had actually was, because I didn't ask you this as well, but I know you, and we'll talk about your programs as we're coming towards the end here, because you have amazing programs and also a gift to share with our listeners. What do you do this privately as well? Like, do you work with people one-to-one on tapping? Or is it more with your programs? How does that work?
Yes, I do both. So okay. I have different coaching programs, and I also work one-on-one with people in a customized way. So for example, if someone perhaps maybe isn't a business owner that wants to increase their conversions and create more sales and charge the prices they want and might not be appropriate for something like my Own Your Worth program, which focuses on, you know, embodying your authority in that way, I will work with someone one-on-one to develop a customized journey to address what it is that they really want to move into in their life and who they really want to be, who do they want to see themselves being.
Nice. That's exactly what, yeah, that just popped up for me as we were chatting. That's beautiful. And I'll put the links, everybody. So the links to Lindsay's, her socials, her programs, and also the link to the tapping bundle. Is there anything you wanted to add in around the gift that will you're generously sharing with the listeners?
Well, this tapping bundle is a great place for people to start to learn some basic techniques of the emotional freedom techniques, and something that they can do on their own. They can follow along to four different videos that I feel really address themes that a lot of people encounter. So stepping onto a new path and purpose for anybody who's feeling a little bit of hesitancy of, you know, can I have the confidence to do this? Make brave choices in who I want to be. Releasing some beliefs around money. Money work is a huge topic that I work with people on in depth, but there's just a little bit of that, scraping the surface of that in one of the videos. And then a video, follow along tapping for opening to a whole new level of flow of abundance. So that could be abundance of time, money, love, creativity, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much on behalf of my listeners for that. It's nice to just, again, when you're listening to an episode, to dive in right at that moment, actually, a little bit more, because it will, it just reminds you, and it gives you, there'll be a little bit of something for everybody, wherever you are in this season of your life, I would say. So, on that note, Lindsay, is there anything else that you would like to share with everyone before I let you go?
I'd just like to thank you, Lori, for having me on as a guest and opening up this beautiful conversation. It's really been a fantastic conversation, and I appreciate the fact that you love to just really allow this space for people to listen and take away something new. And it's all from this beautiful heart space that you have, that you really truly want everyone to just be their whole best selves, happy, healthy, wealthy, living their best life. And I share that passion. And so I just appreciate that you've created this podcast that helps people tap into that.
Wow. Virtual hug. We're on we're on Zoom here, so I am sending hearts and hugs. Thank you so much, Lindsay. Wow. And thank you, everybody, for joining in for this week's episode. And have a fantastic week. Enjoy your tapping. And I will be with you again next week. Bye for now.
If you love this episode, I guarantee you're going to love exploring all the amazing opportunities that await us in reclaiming our awesomeness together. So come on over to my Facebook group, Women's Wellness Community for Women Wanting to Rock Their Me Now Years, or let's connect over on Instagram at HabitGuru365, and make the Habit Guru podcast your healthy new habit.